what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to continue in studies that I'm doing on Tuesday night. We're going to switch over from what Ron and Barney were talking about, and we're going to get into a little bit of the gospel and the stars today, and which is awesome. Awesome material, because it speaks of the coming Redeemer set in our universe. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our calling, for the Word of God, for your Son, who is seen everywhere. The works of your Son are seen everywhere in creation, from the highest heavens to the planet Earth. Everything that we study here shines out, speaks out the Lord Jesus Christ as Creator. Whether we study physiology of the human body, if we study study about plant life here, we study about atmospheric life here, we study about chemical happenings here, they're all wondrous and amazing, absolutely something that a human being couldn't even begin to fathom to create. Marvelous systems everywhere. He's seen everywhere. Seen in mathematics, seen in music, seen in physics, seen in how we live, seen in molecular structure. And so we have no excuse here. And now, today we're going to get into a little bit about the knowledge of the Redeemer seen in the heavens. And so we thank you for everything. We thank you for this life, a fleeting life, a vapor, here and gone. But what we learn about you is pays extreme eternal dividends. And we have extreme eternal dividends through the heritage of the Father. And we thank you for that and all the things of our lives that, that affect us in a negative manner or maybe even a positive manner. We hold up to you and thank you for that. For our trials, we thank you for that in only the fact or in one fact that we can lean on you. We pray that we seriously, seriously do that. So we pray for your enlightenment through God the Holy Spirit. He is a person of God, God the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that we might glean further knowledge of your Son, spoken about in the heavenlies. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen. Okay, I've got a... I got what I call a Koine snapshot for you. Okay? It's, turn to Ephesians 2 real quick. A Koine snapshot. That's what I call this. Because I'm just going to discuss one Koine root, form. It's called Ekleirothemen. Ekleirothemen. And, what that has to do is that has to do, this is just a real quick thing to open up this message. I like the Koine Greek, you can find tremendous information studying the Koine Greek. Okay, so if we turn to Ephesians 2, take a look at this. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Trespasses. That's you and I. Wherein in past time he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. Interesting. The spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our minds, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children or the sons of wrath, even as others. And so what this tells us here is that at one time we are under the will of Satan. Whether or not we believe that or not, even if we didn't believe in him, we were still under his will because we were deceived and we were dead in Christ. Now the flip side of that is ekleirothemen. If we look at Ephesians 1:11, it states, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated." What obtained as an inheritance in the Greek is ekleirothemen. And what it actually means is this, is that, I've hammered this before, but it's just so excellent. We are not given an inheritance, we are an inheritance here. That's very important. What this root means is to be chosen by lot, to be made a private possession. a heritage. And so, going back to Ephesians 2, at one time we were possession of Satan. But now, through the Son of God, we are a heritage, or we are possessed by the Father of lights, God the Heavenly Father. It means to assign by lot, and therefore being transferred by being the possession of one person to being under the possession of another person. This being made a heritage is a product of us being called as adopted sons, and so we were therefore taken as being the possession of the evil one into being the possession of God, our heavenly, dear Heavenly Father. And only God the Holy Spirit can enlighten us as to what the importance of this and the grandeur of this really is. And so that was my Koine Greek snapshot for this morning. Furthermore, if we read Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." I did a translation in Greek on this, and here it is. "It is the Son of the Father's love that we have been ransomed out of the slave market of sin, the blood of Christ being the intermediate agent, in order that the guilt and penalty of falling aside from being upright, as we were when we were under the power of Satan, is released as if never committed. This ransoming out of the slave market of sin, being controlled by the unlimited wealth of the Father's gracious favor." So I want you to just, if you would, take that in mind, from one pole of darkness to the other one of glory. And I think that as you study the Greek, you'll find, not that you can't have knowledge in the English, but as you study the Greek, I think these things will come out more. Let's turn to Genesis 1. Starting with our study for the day, all right? And what do we got? 50-50. We've got about 40 minutes. I don't know how far we're going to get with this, but we're moving on. Genesis 1:14. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, that is, and the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Okay, so we know that God made the lights in the firmament, which... if you want to study about the heavens and the universe, some say it's endless, but it's not. But the more they go up there and they seek through things, the more fantastic information they find about it. And I'm just going to, before I open up, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the gospel and the stars. And in our study on Tuesday, I put out some charts. And I put out the zodiac dial, which basically has to do with the 12 major signs in the heavens that speak about the work of Christ. Okay, and that's what you should have. It's a little bit, rough. For more detailed star charts, you can go to Bollinger's book, which I've used in my study here. Bollinger's book, The Witness of the Stars, and there's a couple other ones out there that show a lot more detail to these star charts. Okay? And here's a quotation from Bollinger before we get started. From his book, The Witness of the Stars, "These pictures were designed to preserve, expound, and perpetuate the one first great promise and prophecy of Genesis 3:15, that all hope for man, all hope for creation was bound up in a coming Redeemer, one who should be born of a woman, who first should suffer and afterwards have glorious triumph, one who should first be wounded by that great enemy who was the cause of all sin and sorrow and death, but who should finally crush the head of that old serpent, the devil. Imagine this truth being seen in the heavens, and it is. All right? So, we have no excuse. We have the completed scriptures, which is such a gift. People have died for it. People have been burned at the stake for it. People have been tortured for it throughout history, even after Acts 28, even after the scripture completed. People were tortured for it and burned alive with Bibles for it. And so we have this Word of God. We have the statement of the coming Redeemer in the heavens above us. All of these heavens were made so that they can be viewed from the planet Earth, if you can imagine that. We have all of the creation of God that we see in these different systems that I mentioned. If we study them, we see Christ the Creator in everything. There's no way that any of this came by happenstance or anything. It is. He is everywhere. He is everywhere. So we are without excuse. These signs may be divided into three great books, Bullinger goes on. Each book containing four chapters or signs. So we have 12 signs. We have 12 signs in three great books. And each chapter, okay, so we have four chapters, and each of these chapters containing three sections or constellations. So we have 12 signs, and we have three constellations in each sign, making 36 individual pictures. And some people have found more. Each book, like the four Gospels, sets forth its particular aspect of the coming one, beginning with the promise of his coming and ending with the destruction of his enemy. And so, this is what's seen in the heavens, and I still believe that it's seen today. According to what I have read, even experts that don't believe in Christ believe that these star charts have been preserved for millennium. I mean, they were, they were kind of perverted by the Egyptians. They were perverted by Nimrod. But nevertheless, these basic signs, according to the expert eggheads, have been preserved for millennium. And even people that don't believe in Christ agree with that. Not that we need. We do not need any expert opinion on anything, by the way. And don't, we have God the Holy Spirit, we have the completed scriptures. We do not need, a college education, a PhD person to tell us anything. Matter of fact, a lot of those folks have been deceived by their own conceit, more or less, thinking they're something when they are nothing. All right, so I've met a number of them, by the way. And so let's go to the zodiac dial chart. The zodiac dial chart. You'll see that there's 12 signs. It's kind of a rough rendition, but nevertheless, it will give you an idea about this tremendous knowledge. I'm going to say this too, that what I'm going to put forth in today and in studies on Tuesday is kind of like a basic overview. There's 12 signs, and then there's three different constellations in each of these signs. Each of these constellations have major stars which have a meaning, and I'm not going to go that detailed into breaking down everything by the star. Because even the stars have meaning. Okay, so the meaning goes into meaning goes into meaning. And heck, maybe someday I'll do that, or somebody will do that, and it would be a fantastic thing to do. But we notice the zodiac dial, it starts with the Virgin, Virgo. It starts with the Virgin, Virgo, and it ends with the Lion, Leo. And again, many of the so-called studied expert believe this has to be true, that we can get into the details also of the movement of these stars, the movement of the sun, the rotation of the Earth. That would be something that would be, I think, a little bit too much for a study over the wire. But, I mean, if you wanted to get into astronomy, that's the pure science of the heavens and the rotation of the planets and the speed that these things move through the universe, you're going to be set back in your seat even the more by how awesome our Creator is. So we go to the Virgo, the Virgin, finally. And we see that the Virgin means the promised seed of the woman. That's what it means. Okay, so we're going to be going through these signs. And so we have some scriptures to read also. And so this is what it's all about. The Virgo, the Virgin, the first sign starting the point of the zodiac. It speaks to the virgin-born Savior conceived by the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Virgin Maiden, if you look at the rough draft, holds within her hand the seed of the wheat. Okay, so she has two things that she holds in her hand. She holds a wheat seed. And what this is this has to do with the seed of the woman. That seed, which is to bruise the head of the serpent, which we know in Genesis 3. Let's turn to John 24. Okay, so she holds the seed of wheat in one of her hands. This is true. Okay, so here we go. Okay, let's turn to John 12. John 12. Okay, so I was going to say heck. That's not too cultured. No, my wife said. But heck, I never knew these things before either. So, I love it. Okay, so I was going through this, went through this study for what I got, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I did this. Okay, John 12, 24 through 26. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So the Lord talks about himself in type, being a seed of wheat that must die and must resurrect to bring forth much fruit. And so what's in the hand of this maiden is seen in John 12. Awesome. The virgin seed is also the branch. All right, so in the other hand of this maiden, she holds a branch in her other hand. Okay, so what about that? We have the seed, that's Christ, that must fall to the ground and die, so he brings many sons to glory, and behold, she also has a branch. Well, we do know that the Lord was called a branch in the scriptures. Let's turn to Isaiah 11. Okay, so this is what we're going to be doing for 30 minutes here, and I hope that you love it. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, the branch. All right, so could it be that the scriptures are talking about zodiac signs? Could it be? Well, I say yes. I'm saying yes, it is. And it's just God reinforcing his truth over and over and over again. So no matter where we look, we have no excuse. That's what I get out of living here and being here. All right, Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. And it shall come forth, and there shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and remove the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And actually, if we read this, we're going to see words like judgment and meekness and righteousness popping out of these scriptures. And these subjects are also seen in these star charts about the one who died in humility but is coming back in great glory. Just kind of pop that in the back of your mind. Turn to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. What's the page on that one? Jeremiah 23, and that is on page 1048 for those with the correct scriptures. That was a little bit of a joke, a little humor there. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. And we find another subject. The tribe of Judah is mentioned here. And of course, on Tuesday nights, we've been studying about the tribes of Jacob, the sons of Jacob, and how they're associated with these star charts, and how they're associated with the stones that are in the high priest of the breastplate, and it all works together into a beautiful oneness. It's beautiful, beautiful things. Zechariah 6. Zechariah, where is that? I've grown to have a lot of appreciation for Old Testament scriptures in doing this study on these stones and these star charts and these tribes, because it leads us into a lot of beautiful information about the Lord that is not just Old Testament scripture that, you know, is back there somehow. 1281, page 1281. That's just not knowledge that's just of Israel that is something dark and mysterious and we don't have to deal with at all. It speaks a lot of faith. These charts speak of the work of Christ and speaks of Abraham, who was a man of faith to begin with. Shows you my knowledge on where Zechariah is. Where was that, Chip? 1281. Sorry, I should have had this beforehand, but Zechariah kind of snuck up on me and took me by surprise. Zechariah 6, 9 through 13. And so what I'm saying is that in the study you can gain a real heartfelt appreciation for knowledge of Old Testament scriptures. Zechariah 6, 9 through 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them, of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tubajah, and Jedidiah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah, and take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, and say unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his peace, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And this is a prophetic utterance that was given about the Lord Jesus Christ when silver and gold crowns were placed upon Joshua. We notice that the virgin in the zodiac sign is said to be laying down, or she's laying on her side. If you look, she's laying down. Some feel that this means that she is fallen, being deceived by Satan into sin and condemnation, but yet bearing the seed, the godly branch, the great coming one who will reinstate all the fallen who joy and believe in him. And so that's the end of sign number one so far. But I must say to you that you could probably write a small book on each of these signs. But I want to set forth the beauty and the magnificence, just basically to wet your whistle, and so that you can go out there and learn for yourself what's in the heavens, even, I believe, to this day. Okay, the second sign you'll see as we move clockwise is Libra, the scales. These scales, interesting, and what these scales mean, basically as a sign, is the price-deficient balance by the price which covers. And awesome, unreal, because it talks about the blood of Christ. And we are in darkness without the blood of Christ. We are destined for death. The wages of sin is death. And no matter how nice we are, no matter how nice of parents we are, or how nice of people we are, or how much we give, or how much we help, you know, I mean, this might sound kind of brash, but there is no righteousness in the flesh at all without the blood of Christ. I mean, that's as basic as it gets. And so as we learned in Ephesians 1 about being saved from the slave market of sin through the blood of Christ, this is what Libra talks about. We don't have the price to pay to Almighty God for our sin. There's nowhere to find a price that's going to save us except the price paid by the blood of God Himself in the Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It speaks of eternal justice, the scales. The wages of sin weighed in the balance of the price given for redemption. The Supreme Most High God requires justification of the guilty. That's what He requires. And who is our God? He's a holy God. He could be any sort of God. He could be like the God that Israel fell to worshiping called Moloch. Moloch. Who was a God that required the death of infant human beings, or people, or young, or virgin people. And Israel went astray at times and sacrificed their own children in the fires of Moloch. And so, which eventually would look and find its end in Satan himself, in satanic worship. And so, our God is a holy God, and we can be really thankful for that, because what do we really know about an eternal God with eternal power in our flesh? And so we should be really thankful that we have the ultimate moral God, the ultimate sinless God, the ultimate holy God. And you know what? He's going to bring us in front of Himself without rebuke and without reproach, without sin, and nobody can accuse us of anything through his Son that's seen in our calling. And I'll tell you what, being the person that I am, just that fact alone makes me want to sob, makes me want to cry with joy that one day after my manifestation, nobody can accuse me of anything, and that I will be in pure holiness in front of a holy God. And so that's just a little bit brief part of our destiny. And so the price being paid, the price being paid by God Himself through the Son of God has brought us to at least that and much, much more. And so what I find when I study the Scriptures, with human beings, God is always left out. He's always left out of the picture. What He wants and what He requires and what He desires is always shoved aside by puny little men and women. That's what I find. All He wants is He wants us to accept what He's given, know about Him, and know how much He loves us. I mean, that's seen throughout our calling for sure. And so we have this Redeemer seen in the heavens that's bringing us the paid price so that we can even begin to have such holy blessings. Those fallen from the results of Satan's power. And so we can understand the power of the evil one, and we can understand his character, and we can know that he will be destroyed one day, because that's what these star signs talk about also. The Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the advocate and found to pay the required ransom to the satisfaction and pleasure of the Holy Godhead, a payment which no being, an angel or devil, can question whatsoever. A perfect price that nobody can question. Let's turn to Hebrews 9. Okay? We got about 20 minutes. And so, Hebrews 9. Okay, and these things are all beautifully connected, saints. All beautifully connected. It goes on and on and on in such a beautiful and a full manner that you can study about the sons of Jacob, you can study the stars, and then you can go to the New Testament and you can find the knowledge being what? Being glorified and being brought forth right through the Scriptures. So we go to Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. But Christ being come a high priest, and by the way, Israel could not have a king priest. Isn't that true? But the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal king priest. A fact to stick in the back of your minds. Christ is the eternal king priest. And so that was one real important aspect that makes him very unique, especially in the eyes of the nation of Israel. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And you know, I want to say this to you. Imagine people that looked at him while he was on the planet and looked at him as just a human being. But then on the other hand, imagine the people who knew these things about him. Imagine the people that knew that he was God in the flesh. Imagine that. Imagine the difference in the brains of these human beings. One person looked at him as being the carpenter's son. Who is he? One person looked at him as being a devil because he could do miracles. One person understood who he was, the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice. All of these human beings could have been standing before him at his crucifixion. And so we should understand how this world can be in the brains of human beings. You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to be subject to the thinking of these human beings that are all around us. And so we better be very circumspect in keeping our minds straight. That's what I'm telling Mike Michikalski, by the way. All right. So we're done, at least for now, with number two, Libra, the scales. And I think probably what we're going to do is we're going to get through number three today with nine more to go. But like I said, in studying this, things I never knew before, it's brought me to my heart and my mind to just a further beauty and a further knowledge of how awesome our God is. And so we cannot breathe. We cannot walk outside and look at the sun. We cannot see plant life. We cannot look at the stars. We cannot look at the moon. We cannot live without saying He is everywhere. And there's no excuse for me. That's what I think He's bringing this world to come to with His grace. And then we have the second advent of the Son of Man coming. And it's not going to be nice. Okay, it's not going to be nice for this planet in the second advent of the Son of Man, by the way. The Son of Man is seen in these star charts, by the way. The Son of Man is coming again in wrath and judgment. Imagine that. And so God's grace is very graceful, but only for a while. Only for a while. And so this world is moving on, moving quickly down the road like a freight train. And they're moving to the second advent of the Son of Man. That's what's coming, no matter what they think, no matter what they do, no matter what they create, no matter what they believe. Scorpio, sign number three, the Redeemer's conflict. We've already seen this in Genesis 3, right? It's about the one who seeks to wound, that is Satan, but himself is trodden underfoot. His head is crushed. The word scorpion itself comes from ancient roots, meaning wounding, cutting, conflict, war, oppression, to cleave, or to cut in battle. A sign of the Satan's oppression. The serpent seed has been, and then we wonder if it still is, abundant on earth. That's another study, isn't it? Does Satan's seed still exist in 2018? Question. You know, Satan's seed certainly existed from the time that the Lord recreated the earth until the coming Christ came in humility. That's a fact. We find that in the Nephilim and maybe even in beings like the Pharisees. Who knows? But a question has been thrown out there over the years. Does Satan's seed still exist today? Okay? I don't know. You know, that's interesting. I might tend to believe that it does. Okay? Because it's a possibility that Nephilim might return or... And then we have to decide whether or not that, or at least I think I do, that can a person be possessed by demons like a person in the day of Christ? Can a person today be possessed by a legion of demons? Interesting questions. So what about the serpent seed? Well, certainly from the time... I believe yes myself, there, Kate. I believe yes myself. I met some guys of the mystery that believe no, that ended at the end of Acts, by the way. Interesting comment. And so we find that the serpent seed is abundant on earth, at least it was to the time of Christ, and is always the enemy of the true and holy seed. Scorpio ranks with the serpent, which is another sign, or another constellation. The scorpion's tail lifted up in anger, ready to strike with its crooked, poisonous, horny barb. Christ, upon entering the world, as soon as he entered the world and took his first breath, was under immediate attack by Satan through the instrument of King Herod. I mean, it's something, and his execution of the recently born in Bethlehem. And you know, I think that we can take heed and that we can take comfort in these facts that even God himself, as soon as he took his first breath, was under attack. May we not be ignorant in thinking that just because we live in a modern society that has all of these nice things of life, all of these nice gadgets of life, that would shield us from the attack of the evil one. How could you ever think that? How could I ever think that? But I think that our society and all these niceties makes our brain think that we're invincible and that Satan really doesn't exist except in some corner somewhere where he comes out once in a while. But that's not true whatsoever. And so to think that we can't have attacks like sons of God throughout history had is quite ignorant and misguided thought. Even you could say, well, I don't feel too much pain and I really live pretty good. Well, maybe your knowledge of God is extremely limited. I don't know. I'm just saying some statements. You know, there's a lot of people that rate lives in the flesh that are destined for death that don't know anything about the Lord, nothing about the scriptures. They like living in modern society, okay? But, it's just a matter of taking this all in. If the Son of God is attacked, if Paul was attacked, if Peter was attacked, James was attacked, you're certainly going to be attacked. And that's what Ephesians 6 is all about. All right, Christ, upon entering the world, was attacked by Satan himself. Let's turn to Matthew 2. Okay, and we're coming to the close for today. And we have 9 more to go. And let me just say this again. If any of you want to take this in and study it more, all of these signs and constellations, there's even a lot more knowledge. We got through 3 of them in about an hour. But it's a beautiful thing to study because I think, like we pointed out at least a bit, that these star charts talk about truth that come out in Scripture. And so these star charts help us understand Scripture even the more. I believe I can say that. All right, so let's turn to Matthew 2. And we know about this, but it's extremely interesting and about this character, Herod. Matthew 2. 7 and 8. Then Herod went when he had privately called the wise men. Interesting. So we have the wise men. How many wise men were there? Were there 3? No. That's the they brought 3 gifts, but that doesn't have anything to do with how many were there. Some people believe that there were 40 wise men there. All right, so 3 wise men from the east? No, I don't believe that at all whatsoever. But the world will tell you that there were 3. There weren't 3. There were more than 3. Question by somebody. Okay. Well, that's another study. Inquiring of them diligently what time of the star appeared. It's like a baby in a manger. Did you know that manger was specific and it it had to do with the sacrifice of an unblemished lamb? That manger was more specific than just a manger down some country road. Did you know that? Yeah, that in that very manger, lambs without blemish of 1 year were sacrificed before the Lord. Did you know that? All right, so some of these things that are put out by the world are not true. There is more specificity to truth than just what the world puts out, so be careful of that. All right? So this manger just wasn't some dirty tube somewhere. It was specific for sacrifice. That's what I've learned. And so, like, you rock back. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Could that be? And there was a tower there where this manger was also, which others have spoken about. And so, dig. That's what we're supposed to do. Dig. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, verse 8. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I might come and worship him. What a liar. He was worried about Christ the King and he wanted to get rid of him. So he was trying to deceive these very wise men that worship the Lord. This is the character that Herod was like. We go on in verses 16 through 21. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, the Tower of Edar, there you go. Ever hear of the Tower of Edar? Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I never heard of the Tower of Edar until maybe 3 or 4 years ago. All right? And so, where the Lord was born was brought to light even in a more holy way. And so, we should all study about the Tower of Edar. Take a look. When Herod, in verse 16, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, that's interesting. Why would they mock him? What was that all about? Did you ever hear of that before? I never did. Why would the wise men mock Herod? Really? Do you know? I don't know. Deceived. Oh, they deceived Herod. That's interesting. Why would they deceive Herod? Oh, maybe to protect the Savior. Okay, well, hey, I didn't know that before. Did you?
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay, and my wife did, so I'm dumb. Was exceedingly wroth. He was angry and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Question. What about these children? I've heard this in conferences. Might as well confront it. How could a holy God allow all of these babies 0 to 2 years old to be slaughtered by such a wicked man? My wife and I believe that they're saved, by the way. My wife and I believe that they're saved, and there's evidence that has to do with King David that they're saved. All right? So I don't think it's beyond a holy God to save all these little ones. Because even though they were born in sin, they were innocent. They knew nothing whatsoever of this world at all. And so we believe they were saved, my wife and I. And some people of the mystery over the years believe that they were not. Just to let you know that, because that's true if you didn't know it. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, he died shortly thereafter, hallelujah, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And Scorpio also has within it the constellation Ophiuchus, the serpent holder. The scorpion is seen trying to wound Ophiuchus's heel, but is trotted down by him under his foot. And so, I'm going to end with that. We got through three of them. I had no idea where we were going to go and how far. But I truly can say this, that I didn't know these things about the heavens, and I hope that they were a blessing to you. I'm going to maybe go over this again and continue. I don't know what I'm going to do on Tuesday, but there might be people there that aren't here, so you know, I have no problem going over this. These are just glorious truths. And then to come to the knowledge of the fact that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the super heavenlies in Christ. I mean, it's beyond glory, and that we can have this knowledge and calling in earthly bodies like we do, knowing a sacred secret revealed that I could say even is beyond the star charts. How can that be? I mean, really, I think it should drive us to our knees, no matter where we're at. I'm also being taught to be thankful for everything. I want to just put this forth to you. Be thankful for everything. Pain, be thankful for pain. Trial, be thankful for trial. Blessing, be thankful for blessing. Because do we have any idea what's coming for us? We have no idea the glory that's coming for us. And so, what is it to trust in Him, really? Do any of us 100% trust in Him? I don't. 100%? Every day, every second of every day, I want to. And so whatever comes past me, if I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say what is true according to my calling in Scriptures, I can trust Him in everything. That's the conclusion I come to. And so that's a tough thing in this world, because not only do we have the flesh and the old man, but we have the evil one that hates us, just like he hated the coming Redeemer. And so I thank you for being here, and I want to end with prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for... We have no idea how thankful we should be. We have no idea. I have no idea how thankful I should be in this life. I had no idea when I was a younger guy that I would come even close to the knowledge that I have through your Son and the Scriptures. And if we have such knowledge today, listening this morning and know our calling in the super heavenlies and know the Scriptures, we have no idea how you're protecting us. I don't really, in the spirit world and all that, we know we can trust in you no matter what. We're going to be here for a vapor. We don't like that idea, I know, in our flesh. We're going to be here for a vapor. We've seen a lot of true saints that aren't here anymore. Kind of wakes us up, but it really solidifies our faith in you, and we pray for the speakers that should have been here. I mean the speakers that need a rest. I want to say that they need their rest. All speakers of the Lord, all workers of the Lord, we all need rest. Get some good rest, and so we're thankful you can give them rest, and so we can return again and listen to your precious truth through these men, faithful men and women out there. Love them. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.